What does it mean to be a disciple? Hi, I'm Jordan Sullivan, the minister of music here at Fraser Church in Montgomery, Alabama, and we're in a series looking at how we can be committed disciples of Jesus Christ by following His Great Commission together as a church family. Our prayer is that in this season you will find greater communion with God, greater community with your fellow disciples, and greater commitment to Jesus' Great Commission. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome to day 39 of A Disciple of Christ, a season of commitment. Today's devotion is titled, A Commitment to Praise. James Montgomery Boyce once wrote, Psalm 145 is the only one titled, A Praise of David, and it is the summit peak of praise. It is indeed a monumental praise psalm, a fit summary of all David had learned about God during a long lifetime of following hard after the Almighty. Our text for today is Psalm 145, verses 8 through 14. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and His mercy is over all that He has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all His words and kind in all His works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. How do subjects relate to a king? Two better questions in our discipleship journey are, how do disobedient children relate to their heavenly Father? And how do sinners relate to their Savior? Everything we know about who God is and the multitude of works He has done on our behalf calls for a commitment to praise Him. Donald Williams and Lloyd J. Ogilvie provide an excellent summary of Psalm 145 that helps with context. This psalm is a commitment to praise. The psalmist will extol God as king in verse 1. And why is this? It is because great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, as it says in verse 3. In verse 4, the generations will also engage in this praise, which includes declaring the mighty acts of God. Then in verse 10, all of God's works will praise Him, and His saints will join in too. And then in verse 11, they shall talk of the glory of God's kingdom and His mighty power. In verses 14 through 16, God upholds His people and provides for them. Verse 17, He is righteous and gracious. In verse 21, no wonder the psalmist will speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless His holy name forever and ever. Commentators identify this psalm as an imperatival type of hymn. It is written in an acrostic form which follows the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Tradition gives its authorship to David. The thought moves from a commitment to praise in verses 1 through 3 to the generation's praise in verses 4 through 9, to your works praise you in verses 10 through 13, to you uphold those who fall in verses 14 through 16, to you are righteous to all who call upon you in verses 17 through 21. Therefore, everything about this psalm deals with praising God. In verses 8 through 14, carefully notice all the reasons we have to praise God. In verse 8, the Lord is gracious and merciful. Also in verse 8, the Lord is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. In verse 9, the Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. In verse 13, his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His dominion endures throughout all generations, and the Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. And then in verse 14, the Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. Each one of these reasons can stand alone as more than enough reason to shout praise to our awesome God. Add them all together, and we should never run out of reasons to worship the Lord. It appears that the psalmist couldn't get through all of the reasons before he jumped into the results. This is precisely what occurs in the middle section of today's text. Observe the responses. In verse 10, all your works shall give thanks to you, and all your saints shall bless you. Then in verse 11, they shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power. Then in verse 12, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. The psalmist perceives the astounding reasons that we have to praise God, as seen in his statement that God's works shall praise his name. God's actions bring him praise. Therefore, it is obvious his saints should bless his name. What more could God be? Or what else could he accomplish to make you worship him as you should and as he deserves? The psalmist makes it clear that every disciple should be committed to praising God. Some questions to consider. Why do you think praise is a theme of Psalms? What is significant about the fact that Psalm 145, like many other Psalms, gives reasons for praise and appropriate responses? And finally, in what ways is your commitment to Christ directly related to your heart for worshiping him? Thanks for joining us. Have a good day.